There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along, live local talk over the next hour. And you're a big part of the show. Text line already popping at 343-0106. Just heard about 30 minutes ago. I can go back and get it clipped from YouTube if y'all don't believe me. But I heard Speaker Pelosi say, as she said about this impeachment proceeding, that it breaks her heart to bring this impeachment proceeding against President Trump. You know, there's an added benefit, a silver lining for politicians to wear the mask, right? Because they can say things, and if they're grinning or grimacing, you can't tell. The mask hides the facial expression. So, yeah, Speaker Pelosi said it broke her heart. Heartbroken, having to bring this impeachment. We'll talk about that. Speaking of the president, and my friend Cameron Smith is going to join us in just a second. Leanna, can you check on some things for me here during the hour? Can you check on, because we talked so much this week about Twitter and Facebook, you know, deplatforming, is that like the term? President Trump, now YouTube, putting him in YouTube jail for a little bit of time, like a couple weeks or something like that. Can you check on a couple other things on a list? These were on my mind. Can you check on his Etsy account? Would you check on President Trump's Etsy account? Is it still up, or is Snapchat? Is he still on Tumblr? What about LinkedIn? I haven't gotten a notice that he's on LinkedIn. I get a notice from everybody else, but is he on? What about the Nextdoor app? Wouldn't that be something as interesting as a Twitter feed is to a lot of people? What would President Trump's Nextdoor app be like if he's on Nextdoor, say, people in the neighborhood, you know, all the stuff you get? But what about his Yelp reviews? Check out Yelp. I know there's a long list, and I'll write this down, but yeah, his Yelp reviews. President Trump's TripAdvisor account been suspended. Is it still up? What about Melania's Pinterest account? Is that up? Really, I mean, just if we can go through those. Maybe MySpace. This might be the restart of MySpace. Every example, President Trump's going to start his own social network, and I've told you all why I think it's a bad idea to balkanize and have echo chambers out there. But maybe he goes in and kind of restarts MySpace, that President Trump goes there. Just if you could look at from the Etsy to the Yelp and the LinkedIn, really, in the Nextdoor account, has President Trump been kicked off Nextdoor? If you could look at that for me, I'd appreciate it. All right, so the impeachment train in Washington seems to be blowing some real steam now. Let's talk with my buddy Cameron Smith from AL.com and the Triptych Foundation, and we'll talk about that and his latest column, and maybe what his TripAdvisor account looks like right now as well. Cameron, hey, man.
Oh, there we go. Well, it's hard for me to hear, Sean. Nancy Pelosi is shedding crocodile tears, setting up the pikes on which Republicans can impale themselves.
Okay, let's go to that. You add a little more meat to that than just my, my guffaw over that it breaks her heart. The pikes on which Republicans will impale themselves. Walk us through that.
Well, obviously this is political. And I don't mean that Trump has not given cause for them to be able to file articles of impeachment. The Secretary Raffensperger call that was leaked was really bad. Obviously,
is that impeachable?
Apparent reluctance. Yeah, well, anything can be impeachable. Think
sure,
of it
it's
as
a political
charge and removal,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's
so the
a political.
House can say, we want to impeach you. The Constitution standard is high crimes and misdemeanors. And, you know, we've debated this back and forth. It's a judgment call. It is, do we believe that he has done something so egregious that it deserves his removal from office. And then that is a high standard. It's a big deal. But politically speaking, for Pelosi to put this on the floor, what she's really saying is, you know what, Republicans, if you want to ride and die with Trump, I'm all about that. So he's leaving office anyway. But on the way out, I want you to tell the American people that you don't think that he incited the violence that they all saw on television. You don't think that that merits any sort of real discipline and accountability. And, oh, we're going to kick it over to the Senate, and then they're going to have to deal with the same thing. And the reason for this is that if you say, no, I'm not going to impeach or remove the president, then you're siding with Trump and the violence. That's what Pelosi and Democrats will project. And if you say, you know what, I've had enough, I want to impeach the president or remove him from office, then you're going to have trouble from Trump supporters in red states. And she knows that. She is a very smart politician, and this is a brutalizing moment for Republicans.
It's interesting, and a lot better insight into this, that it's as much about doing damage to Republicans in Congress as it is to President Trump.
Yeah, and she doesn't have to say that.
No, but
look, we saw what you saw. We saw them coming down the street, sacking the Capitol, and Trump being reluctant to call out the National Guard and help us. And you've got Republicans like Liz Cheney that they've made that judgment call, and they've said, you know what? Yeah, this does merit impeachment. And there are Republicans in the Senate who will say that as well. And look, she has no interest, Schumer has no interest in stopping this from happening, because it will. There is no good vote for Republicans. Right. There's just not. And she knows that.
Yeah, and this is, it's interesting that this is a trap was set. Maybe it's not a trap, but that the Republicans have walked into it. I do want to say this, though, and we'll get into your column, too, later on in our conversation, for sure. But, you know, if we impeached every politician that gave a fiery speech, and then you can point out the fact that President Trump said peaceful and all that, but every politician that gave it, or, you know, we talk about Mo Brooks being censured or this move. If we impeached every politician that gave a fiery speech in front of an audience, then they'd have to run an impeachment night court in Washington. I mean, it seems very selective here.
It does. And I'll say, though, that there's one thing here that jumps out to me, is that the reason these people were there, the Stop the Steal protest was there, was twofold. One, they had been told, well, hey, there's this effort to not certify the election, which is what was happening on the 6th. And they had been told that Mike Pence could unilaterally declare that he wasn't going to count certain states. That is a lie. That is not true. There was no pathway present that resulted in Trump winning that election based on the events of January 6th. And Trump knew that. He could have said, folks, once the states have certified, you know, we've exhausted our procedural options, and while I don't like it, that's it. Instead, he kept pushing this thing, and it just wasn't true. Like, it wasn't true. There's no way to spin it to say, well, it was true, that he could have said, well, they're going to vote this way. But he gave folks a hope that the election was still achievable for him. And that was not true. And I think that the Democrats do have a really credible argument of saying it wasn't true. You knew it wasn't true. You whipped people into a frenzy. They wanted to hang Mike Pence.
Some did. Yes.
That's on you. Yes. And it's hard to see who else it would be on.
But if you don't say that, I mean, I'm not trying to split hairs here, but I want to make sure we have a fair conversation. If you don't say, go, I mean, and you can say, I mean, can't you say the president thought it was that way? I don't know. I mean, I don't know what he thought in saying that. And I've been, you know, I've spent now a week lampooning how quickly people turned on Mike Pence, the Vice President Pence, saying he's not a conservative. And I think it's a childish reaction. But if you go and there's an audience there that does something that you didn't call for, what's your culpability? I mean, that's kind of what's being decided here, even though it's not legal, it's political. But what is your culpability? If you say take names and kick ass, if you're Mo Brooks, there's people say kind of things like that in political rhetoric all the time. That doesn't actually mean to go beat somebody up.
And I agree with you, Sean. I mean, I'm saying the context here is a political question. This is not a criminal proceeding. If I'm looking to, you know, charge and convict Trump with a felony, I don't see it. But and the question here that your listeners need to answer is, when we look at the president of the United States, is impeachment solely and removal solely reserved for felony activity? I mean, did Trump have to lead the charge down the street and smash through the Capitol doors? And if that's the standard, that like, if as long as he didn't do that or say magical words like go smash the Capitol, then okay. I mean, we're really not going to impeach anyone for anything ever. I mean, they literally have to commit a crime that we record. I don't think that that's necessarily the standard that was envisioned by our founders when they put this together, because otherwise they would have said that. They would have said, if they commit a felony, then we can do this process. This is a judgment call for our leaders, and that's what I think Democrats are putting on Republicans of saying, if that's the standard, if the standard is magic words or, you know, a criminal standard, that's fine. But we're going to force you to say that. We're going to force you to make those arguments to defend Trump's conduct and behavior, because we just don't think it's defensible, and we think it puts you in a bad position to have to do it. And frankly, a lot of Republicans agree with them here.
Indeed. Coming right back, more with Cameron Smith from AL.com and the Triptych Foundation on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, coming up at 12:40-ish, we're trying to make sure we time it right. AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl is going to join us to talk about his vote on this impeachment push that's going on right now in the House. Obviously, it'll pass the House with the Democrat votes. But, yeah, what about that situation, Cameron? You're laying out that it's a pike on which Republicans can impale themselves.
Well, there's just no upside, Sean. I mean, you know, the whole, well, let's defend Trump on his way out the door. It seems like, okay, that's a thing. But then the flip side is folks are saying, well, look, he whipped this crowd into a frenzy. He's been doing it since the election. You know, he's been saying things, some of which he knew were not true. And if Democrats are just saying, we know what we're going to do. We're going to impeach, and in the Senate, we're going to vote to remove, but we're going to basically split Republicans. We're going to make them have to either tie themselves to Trump indefinitely on the way out. There's no real political benefit of doing that, or reject Trump and suffer the consequences at home. This is just not a winner for most Republicans.
For sure. What about for the Republic? And I want to talk about your latest column over at AL.com. People can check out Reclaiming a Republican Doubt. There's so much in this that I told you I like highlighted a bunch. One of the paragraphs here, I'll read it, even though it's the words of Cameron, he'd probably be better to read it than I. But Cameron writes, for years, that sentiment has been conspicuously absent. The litmus test for being a Republican has been a loyalty to a man. That itself is an anti-American sentiment, because we are indeed a nation of laws rather than men. The moment we lift any man or woman above the Constitution itself, we reject our founding ideals. Now, people that have listened to me for a long time, I want to point out that that was actually written by Cameron, not by me, and we had no collaboration on that. Well said.
Well, it could have been written by you, because it's what you think, too.
I do.
At the end of the day, the Constitution, we're Americans. I am an American. I look at this and say, the system and structure of government that we have been handed by our forebears is worth defending, and it's a good system. And we may not like the outcome of that system. We may not like the way an election goes. But revolting against that and saying, well, because I like Trump, I need to be willing to attack America or set it on fire— it's a bad idea. And I've just seen too many people interchange Trump and America like they mean the same thing, mm-hmm. and they don't. They just don't. And there's a real danger for anyone, I don't care whether you're Democrat or Republican, saying that there's a politician I love who can do no wrong. That's a dangerous place to be.
I think for so many, though, they saw President Trump as a champion for them like they had never had before. And maybe that's the, you know, the set of ideas, which could change quite regularly, I would point out. But he seemed to always fall in the right place for a lot of Americans, that he was their voice, right? Their voice that wasn't heard by politicians past, including Republicans.
Yeah, and I'll give him a lot of credit for that. He listened. He said, I see where you are. I see that you don't trust anybody in power. You think these folks have taken advantage of you, saddled your kids with debt, and, you know, frankly, ignored you. And I'm not going to do that. And for that, he was absolutely right. He connected in a way that no other politician has. But the problem was, he didn't say, but this isn't about me. This is about America. This is about our republic. He made it about himself. It was, be loyal to me. He even talked about himself in third person. Mm-hmm. I mean, talking about Trump while actually being Trump. And I think that people do need a champion. I mean, that's what we're seeing with Twitter and all these platforms deplatforming certain voices. Like, that's a big issue. If you thought that people were looking for a champion before, there are a lot of folks like you and me that are saying, whoa, who speaks for us? Who's the one that is going to defend us against these folks that say our views aren't even worth giving airtime to? So I think we have to be real careful at this moment in time that it's easy for the left to say, hey, Trump's a menace. We need to go after him. And I understand why they feel that way. But if there's no off-ramp, there's no alternative for folks who aren't Democrats, who aren't progressives, who aren't socialists, then that's a big problem. And so that's why Trump has had so much fealty and loyalty from Republicans, is they say, well, I don't like his behavior. I don't like the way he talks. I don't like his mannerisms. But he's the one voice that's powerful enough to go against Mark Zuckerberg, to go against Nancy Pelosi, to go against these people who tell me that I'm bad. And that's a real thing, and we shouldn't dismiss that.
Will those ideas, you know, this is something I talked about back during the Senate race here in Alabama, will those ideas, who will be the champion of those ideas? I mean, I don't think Donald J. Trump, when he's not President Trump, is going anywhere, but who within the halls of government, are we watching that now? Who's going to be the champion by what they do in the House right now?
I don't know that what's happening in the House right now is going to sort of anoint somebody as a champion or not. And frankly, it takes time. You've got to have somebody. It could be a Dan Crenshaw. It could be a Nikki Haley. It could be a Tim Scott. I mean, there are a lot of potential people here, but none of them is even close to as powerful as Trump was as president of the United States. I mean, President Obama is similar in that a lot of people attach their mm-hmm. hopes and everything to President Obama,
yep.
and they weren't critical of him. And there's a natural tendency to do that because that office is so powerful. And when conservative types or libertarian types say, or even populists say, well, who's going to go to bat for me against Mark Zuckerberg? Because he is super powerful. We need somebody. And frankly, Nikki Haley is not that right now. Like, she can say her opinion, but she's going to say it on Mark Zuckerberg's platform. And so right. I think that's where a lot of folks are real skeptical right now of, okay, fine, you take Trump out, knock yourself out, but then who is it that speaks for us? We don't have that.
Yeah, Cameron, as always, I appreciate our conversations. People want to engage with you on this. What platform should they go to?
You can go to al.com/opinion. I know some folks are real skeptical of Twitter right now, but you can find me at @dcameronsmith on Twitter. Look me up on Facebook. I have a Parler account. I don't really know how to use it, but you can find me any way you want.
There we go. As always, I appreciate our time. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, sir.
Coming right back, more Midday Mobile. AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl joining us soon.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, y'all, welcome back. 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Sun's come out. It's nice. More from Dr. Bill coming up in just a little bit. Right now, I want y'all to say hello to my friend Larry Kirby at LCM. And I got to ask Larry, how's the inventory looking? How are the SUVs looking?
As a matter of fact, we just got three fresh ones in yesterday. We're getting them serviced and detailed up right now. One of them is an 06 Toyota 4Runner SR5.
Nice.
Under 10 grand. The other one is a 2005 Ford Expedition Eddie Bauer package with really low miles, under 10 grand. And then a 2009 Honda Pilot Touring package. All these are under $10,000. The Ford and the Honda have third seats.
This is a vehicle a lot of people are looking for, haul kids, haul other people out there, haul stuff with them places. What about when you talk about under $10,000? I guess I got to ask you this. Does the great financing we talk about still apply when you start talking about that price point?
Absolutely. We got great financing for all three of them. We got credit unions that'll finance them. We got banks that'll finance them, you know, local lenders. So we got multiple ways to go with financing.
Give us directions to come check out those SUVs and all the selection of vehicles at LCM.
Highway 98 Plantation Road, online at lcmmotorcars.com. Like us on Facebook or just call us at 375-0068.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks.
All right, Larry Kirby checking in. Coming up in just a second, we'll be, talking to AL1's Congressman Jerry Carl, who, of course, is in Washington today as this impeachment hearing is underway in the House of Representatives. Give me a second here on lots and lots of text. Okay, so Jace, a couple of people, Jace is one of my favorite texters, but Jace asking the question, several of y'all did, said, thank God, Maxine Waters, Pelosi, and Schumer never told anyone to confront them in public at the gas station. I wish I had that clip ready to go. When you see them at the restaurant, et cetera, et cetera. Y'all remember that? Remember that whole? When people like former Press Secretary Sarah Sanders, she was never accosted in public or denied service, or thankfully some nut job never shot up a baseball field full of elected Republicans. Sarcasm font. Yeah, here's the thing, Jason, you're spot on. And the whole bunch of y'all that said, you know, people have short memories, selective memory. I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly. At the same time, I don't excuse what happened at the Capitol. Now, do I think they should be trying to impeach President Trump for causing that? No, I don't. But I'm not going to excuse what happened at the Capitol either. But, you know, we have this conversation about what's going on right now and what's going on in the House of Representatives. Cameron earlier said that this is a precarious position for Republicans in their vote on this impeachment. He said Speaker Pelosi, I think what he said, has put out a pike for Republicans to impale themselves on. We'll find out what our Congressman Jerry Carl thinks about that. Checking in from Washington. Congressman, thanks for your time.
Hey, Sean, how are you doing?
I'm all right. But you get to work up there and you have storming of the Capitol. And next thing you know, you got to be voting on impeachment of President Trump.
I don't remember any of this being brought up on the campaign trail. Kevlar was never brought up. Riots were never brought up. You know, impeachment was never brought up. And it's really sad up here. I mean, it's so divided. And some of my Democrat colleagues, I actually got to spend some time with last night, very briefly, in between votes. And they're frustrated, too. They want to get to work and do the business of the people. And none of us feel like this. What's going on today is worth what I mean. It's just consuming the entire week, and there's no reason for it. I mean, it's just a dog and pony show. It truly is.
I heard Speaker Pelosi earlier say that it broke her heart to have to bring this impeachment out there. But you know, in a conversation I had with Cameron Smith, he did point out that as a political play. Right, it's a political play. Payback against President Trump for Pelosi taking a victory lap, yes, but also it seems to be, maybe not for someone from AL1, but it seems to be a dangerous situation and a trap for a lot of Republicans.
Well, it's an easy decision for me. I mean, we're 1 week out, and this is going to divide us and just tear us up. I mean, we've got you know, the country's getting all kind of threats over this, and I just sat in on some briefings from different departments, and you know, it's just tearing this country apart. You know, sit still for a week. Let's get the new president sworn in and move on and do the business of the people. But what's going on the floor? And I know that's what you're talking about, mm-hmm. but it's pure political. It's just a dog and pony show. They'll only let so many of us sit on the floor at the time. So most of us have to sit up in our office and watch it on TV. But it's just a pure dog and pony show.
You know, it seems like, though, that it is dog and pony show, but with some real ramifications for maybe Republicans in other places, not AL1, not you, but they're in a situation where, you know, if they vote to impeach, like you hear there's some Republicans doing, it might serve them better in purple districts and purple states and those kind of things. At the same time, President Trump's supporters aren't going away. If they vote to impeach, they may be in trouble in 2 years.
Well, not knowing those districts and those purple districts that you're talking about, obviously I'm not one of those, but I've heard a lot of conversation about those purple districts. They didn't want a lot of this to come up because they do have to take a choice on it, you know, one way or the other. But, you know, at the end of the day, I look at it, and it's just one more thing to split this country up. We've got enough. You know, regardless how you feel about the president, you know, regardless how you feel, positive or negative, we just had enough. It's time to move on. Let's get to, you know, I didn't run for this office to come up here and dodge bullets and wear Kevlar vests and argue about impeaching the president. You know, I understand we got to take care of it. We got to do it. And we got to work through this. But it's very disheartening. Very disheartening.
It is. But for a lot of people out there, and I, you know, people that I don't know how many but I get text and emails and calls. That doesn't mean they're the majority or minority. I don't have a gauge on that. But continue to say that this is the most important thing beyond anything else because they believe the election was stolen. They believe that we're moving forward with an illegitimate president. I mean, your reaction to that?
My reaction is very simple. I had some very strong questions about especially Georgia and Pennsylvania. And we can't get any questions answered, and no one wants to ask any questions the people that should know, of the people that should know. So, you know, my whole, you know, it's like everything else. They'll run through a bill on you that's 32 pages long, and you've got 40 minutes to read it. Well, I can't do that. You might can, but I can't. And they just want to speed everything through without talking through it, without debating it. We're watching the debate on the floor right now. They, you know, we'll get an hour each. That's it, and it's over. And you know, when you talk about the elections, everyone gets very passionate about it. We voted, we lost. We need to move on.
And that,
we've got as a country, we have to move on.
And so, I guess that question. I mean, there are people that will say, "Well, we're moving on with an illegitimate president." Is Joe Biden, well, when he's inaugurated, is he a legitimate president? I mean, and the left said the same thing about President Trump, right? So many did.
I mean, we're replaying 2017. Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone's in such a hoorah about what Trump has done and you know, questioning whether he was legitimate or not. I mean, in 2017, we're just replaying it now in 2020 or 2021. I sure was hoping 2021 would be different than 2020, but it certainly hasn't started that way up here. But you know, we've got to push through this. We've got business to take care of. We've got another election coming up in 2022. We've got to take the House. We've got to get some control. Nancy Pelosi, quite honestly, is off the reservation. She had, is it magnetometers put in? So she's checking every congressman coming in and out for weapons. Now, so it's just bizarre up here, just extremely bizarre. Never in history.
No, it is from the time you've arrived. Maybe, Congressman, maybe you brought it with you to Washington.
Several of us have said that in humor, and you know, I've really tried. You know, I'm the rookie up here, and I try to stay quiet and learn. You know, try to learn from what's going on around me, but. you know, to question someone's coming on the floor, and only the House members are allowed on the floor. And they stopped me last night, and I refused to let them search me just out of reaction. And they stood their grounds. They told me I couldn't come in unless I was searched. Obviously, I emptied my pockets, and we went through the ordeal. But it's just trying to treat people. This is so
As a member, so you're saying, as our duly elected representative in the House of Representatives from AL1, a duly elected House member, you are subject to the search.
Yes, I told him he wasn't going to touch me. It is exactly my words I told him. And he laid his baton down, and he squared off on me and said, "Well, you're not coming through this door." Now, I was there by myself. I was one of the early ones because I'm always afraid I'm going to be late. But, several of the members just rushed the door and just pushed their way through it. But that's something wow. Nancy Pelosi has set up because she claims she's worried about, you know, the members bringing guns to the floor. I've never been one, you know, to carry a firearm, but hey, somebody else wants to bring one. We sure could have used it last Wednesday. I'll tell you that.
What about beyond the
been a handy thing to have
beyond the impeachment discussion? What about this 25th Amendment push? I know you had a vote on this, the resolution was going to ask Vice President Pence to invoke the 25th?
The 25th Amendment was never written for what they were trying to use it for and what they did. They're trying to get Pence to invoke it. But that's been used twice, and I think both times were for surgeries, when they put the president under for surgery. But that's what the 25th is for, is so the vice president can temporarily take control. Now, if the president has been assassinated, I think Johnson fell under the 25th, too. If you've got a president that's been assassinated or is incapacitated in some way, you would certainly want to use it, and that's what it's there for. But just because you disagree with policies or you disagree with what somebody's saying, I mean, it's just a mess up here. And you know, the freshmen, like I said, the freshman Democrats, you know, they're going to do what they're told to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is they're on Democrat side. You don't understand how strong they are. I mean, their leadership is, it's a tough bunch. So, but you know, we're ready to get to work. You know, we've got some real issues and some real problems. You know, we got some COVID issues. You know, we need to get the vaccines out quicker and faster and more available. I mean, there's some issues we need to be addressing. This is consuming 100% of our time.
Hey, Congressman, by the way, on this vaccine, just a quick question. I don't know if you have an answer for it, but in a discussion I've been having on the number of vaccines here at home and, you know, how the list goes for 75 and up, 1A and all, who decides how many vaccines like Alabama gets as a state? Or they come here to is it at state level, or is it something y'all do in Washington? How's that done?
I truly don't know. My guess would be it's based on population. That's just my sheer guess, but I have no idea.
Who asked for it? You know, do we have to ask, or do they say, "Here's what you get"?
Yes,
you know,
that's yes. My mother-in-law, who's you know at the wrong age to be exposed to it. Without giving her age, obviously.
Right.
I think my wife got her on a list yesterday.
Yeah,
it's a public list. You just have to get on and wait your turn. So
sure, and we've talked about that. Yeah, we were talking about that list and all that. I was just in our side of getting on it. But does the state say, you know, and maybe we don't know yet, but it would be interesting to find out, does somebody in Montgomery call Washington and say, "Hey, y'all, we need another 100,000 vaccines," or does Washington say, "We have decided y'all get 100,000 vaccines"? I guess that's my question.
I don't know, and I'm really leery to answer that without having a good, solid answer for you.
That's good. Get the information, and then we'll get an answer.
Yeah, there you go.
Congressman, I appreciate you checking in. I know it's obviously a busy day.
Please, I encourage everyone, do not give up. Please don't give up on us. We're going to come out of this. We're going to come out of this, and we're going to get to work, and we're going to make this country a much, much better place than it is today.
We'll keep calling you, keep getting you on the show and talking about it.
All right. Thank you, sir. Take care.
You too. Congressman Jerry Carl joining us from Washington, and we're coming right back.
is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:54 FM Talk 106.5. Like Chuck and others, I'm coming to you just to what you asked in the text. Yes, the same thing caught my attention. I also was telling my friend Angelo from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry about my interpretation of the lead news story from WKRG. Talk about that some, but I want to talk about precious metals and gifts and all those great things that happen right there at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Angelo, what's up, man?
I've been a busy week. I think it's been busy for a while now, but doing good today. How about you?
I'm good. This is always, you know, an education for me when I ask this question. What are precious metals doing today?
They're actually holding relatively stable. It's been sort of surprising because gold and silver dropped a little bit. Silver's around $2,550 right now. Gold is around $1,850 an ounce. And prices are relatively stable. Premiums are relatively stable. But, man, we have had a lot of interest, a lot of activity, a lot of people really curious about investing in buying some of that gold and silver right now.
Because we always talk about precious metals, and then people say, well, the purpose, you know, what to get those for diversification, but a hedge too, right? If somebody thinks we're going to continue this path of devaluing the fiat currency, that's one of the things that pushes people into this.
It really is. People start looking at the dollar and looking at the money that's being spent by the U.S. government. And a little interesting bit of trivia, a 1960 dime is made out of silver. And in 1960, it would buy a loaf of bread or a dozen eggs. And the silver value in that dime today will still buy a loaf of bread or a dozen eggs. And a regular dime that wouldn't have been silver from that same era wouldn't have had any buying power today whatsoever. That's why people like getting into gold and silver like that, because it has that lasting buying power.
Well, people, listen, do what I've done over the years, gotten an education from Angelo on precious metals and also bought precious metal from Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. How do they find you? How do they come in and visit with you on this?
Yeah, we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. Of course, you can check us out in the virtual world, mobilebaycoins.com. You can listen to our podcast there or listen to us live on 106.5 every Tuesday night.
I love the show, man. Tell everybody I said hello, and we'll come see you soon.
Will do. Have a good one,
buddy. You too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. If I have a second, y'all give me a second here. We're run out of time because we've got Cam Marston, What's Working, comes on at 105 because of the basketball tonight. But I just have to go to this story. You can check it out on our Facebook, too, and on my personal Facebook. And it also is a lead story. Devin, are you listening? The lead story is sent to us from our news partners at WKRG. Lead story, with everything going on in the world. This brazen theft of a luggage cart from a Daphne hotel about 11 p.m. on New Year's Eve. Yes, I've been back and forth on the text line with people. They have put the pictures up of the suspects here for the, you know, like a and they got a picture of luggage carts too, what they look like, if you didn't know. These are pretty fancy luggage carts, though. I mean, compared to what I get at the, you know, the Hampton Inn or something. But these these suspects here, Daphne police say, came in and left with a luggage cart. Be on the lookout, Bolo, for a luggage cart. If there's a family, if you see something, say something. If there's a luggage cart at your home that wasn't there before and people are having trouble explaining, and the pictures of these suspects are up along with the story on our Facebook page. If you've seen a luggage cart that nobody can explain to you why they would have a luggage cart, you need to call authorities right now. Maybe that's what we need. Maybe that's what we need more of. It's just luggage cart stories versus everything else. By the way, too, heads up. My friend Cammie from Cammie's Old Dutch is in the building right now and has brought us some brand new flavors for this Mardi Gras season. Creole King Cake Ice Cream, Original King Cake Ice Cream, Chocolate Moon Pie, and Banana Moon Pie. Available at Cammie's. Check it out.